Now, I've had a big cascade of insights yesterday that have been really interesting. And one of them is that knowledge. Hang on, let me just find the words that I wrote. Knowledge can be a beautiful thing, and it can also be incredibly limiting. When we acquire knowledge from the outside of ourselves, it can actually be the source of limiting ourselves. And that's a big understatement. Someone else's, what I came to understand was that someone else's knowledge is one of those things that can inspire us, but if we really want to use it, if we're going to be creating something new or going deeper or learning more, pushing the boundaries, whatever, then someone else's knowledge can limit us. We literally limit ourselves with other people's knowledge. So what if, with everything that everybody wants out of this clinic, what if we weren't limiting ourselves to someone else's knowledge? Feel what happens to the inside of your body when you think of not being limited. Hang on, let me just rephrase that so it's more open. Okay, something along the lines of opening ourselves up to the limitless knowledge that comes from the inside of us. Holy snapping turtles, I haven't got my phone, so Carolyn can't talk to me. Hang on 1 second while I run and grab it. You're all laughing at me. Okay, now I'm just looking at who we've got on the board, so who's going to go first? Ines, I know you're, it's very late on Saturday night in Germany. So, oh, we can hear you. Super.
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you on this lovely day?
Well, I'm amazed that I think the spirit of the clinic is uplifting my powers to stay awake tonight. So, yeah, I'm doing fine.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay. So what did it feel like for you, Ines, when I was talking about other people's knowledge maybe limiting us?
Well, my first thought was, why should it? Well, I always see it as an inspiration and not a limit. I mean, it would be limiting. You know, somebody once said to me, if you compare yourself with others, you are already in deficiency.
That is so true.
And it's true, you know, and why should we do that? Because I don't know. I mean, we are all learners all our lives. And the more we know, the more we know that we don't know anything. So it's just I see it like sampling. I said sampling information and knowledge on my life way, like picking flowers. Yep. And adding it to a bunch of flowers that I already have to make it more colorful and beautiful. And if I meet somebody who has vast knowledge, then it might attract me. And but limiting, I don't know. But tell me, how do you mean it?
Well, we tend to, when someone has lots of knowledge, we tend to think that they have an answer, or think that that answer is true without questioning it deeply. Take something big like the laws of physics, for example.
Okay.
So, Charlie's working this morning. He was going to try and get on the call before he started driving to work. But this one's for him. To do what he wants to do, one of the laws of physics is actually wrong.
Well, science is always the state of the art that is at the current moment valid, right? And it can be replaced by other things once science gets better knowledge. So,
So that's a kind of thing I'm talking about, that we should accept something that is considered true by very eminent people and limit ourselves when we're not open. No, hang on. Let me just sit into this a bit better. Even when the knowledge is true, even when it's right, the thing that actually makes the creation come forth from ourselves is when we understand that truth for ourselves. So it's not so much a matter of even right and wrong. But that when the knowledge comes from the inside of ourselves, it's more powerful. Maybe this insight was more for me than for anybody else, but it gave me goosebumps. And it's funny because I've spent my life questioning other people's version of knowledge. Deb's got her hand up. She's going to join us in talking about this one. Deb.
Jenny, I was just thinking when you said about the laws and that laws have changed, there was once upon a time where science said that the world was flat. So,
yeah.
That was my chip in. Small but cute.
Yeah. I love Inez. Inez has such a lovely pragmatic approach to life. Carolyn says, Inez, that you already got this instinctively. You already know this instinctively.
Well, I just call it stubborn.
Sorry, say that again.
Well, I just call it like innate stubbornness.
Except stubborn sounds like that's a negative. I call it determination.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great. I like this. Okay. I am determined.
Yeah,
but you know, it's like it's a good thing. It's like another side in the oh my goodness. I am really a little bit tired. It has another side on the coin. Can you still hear me? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
My computer went dark. Because it's about trusting oneself more than others.
Yeah.
So there's always a yin-yang about everything, right? So I tend to trust myself most of all.
Yeah. So you've been told you were stubborn?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Just tune in to what your body feels like, what it feels like inside, to think about being told you were stubborn.
It's great that it was a long time ago. So that I'm not I'm over it. That doesn't sound like it should. I mean, of course I was like it was a bad feeling when I was young. To be blamed, to be stubborn, egoistic or whatever. But now I know that it's not the case. So I'm just determined.
Yeah. There's enormous power in this. There's enormous power in this. And it's not even a negative thing. It's, do you know, another one of the things that came to me, I was writing up a page of structure that was prompted by your email the other day, and I've put the link in with the web call, so it's on the web call page.
Oh, super, thank you.
It's just one thing. I've got a few others planned, but that's one that I worked on yesterday.
Oh, super, super.
And one of the things that came up, I was channeling information. It's when I'm deep inside myself and just writing, and then sometimes I write something that I didn't even know. And the knowledge thing was one of those, and it sent goosebumps vibrating through me, because that's not been my personal experience. I've looked outside of myself for knowledge for a long time. And then it was the horse stuff that made me challenge, and the healing work that made me challenge the status quo, you know, the medical status quo, and the, you know, the horse, the accepted horse training methods made me question those. But the other thing that sent enormous ripples of energy through to me was how... Now, being called stubborn is not a traumatic thing, but if that comes when we're feeling vulnerable, you know, at a vulnerable time of our childhood or whatever, then it can have an enormous impact on our lives. And what I reflected was that it didn't matter whether it was something like that or whether it was actually trauma. It had enormous benefits for our lives. There was a, gosh, it's hard to explain. It's really something that's got to come from the inside. But even trauma adds to our life. It doesn't take away from it, it adds to it. And this being stubborn thing, you already understand that it's added to your life because it made you more determined. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so there's enormous, we can, what I'm enjoying about this is the idea that we can be pulled down by the things that happen to us, or we can be added to by the things that happen to us. And all of a sudden yesterday I saw that happening for myself. Lynn's put her hand up to join in with this conversation.
Hello.
Yes, Lynn.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
I just thought I would throw in the mix. When I was at college, I did a whole semester elective on a subject called knowledge and belief. And it was really cool. And we had all sorts of discussions and we had lots of people come in from different religions, although it wasn't wholly about religion or science for that matter. But at the end of it, I kind of worked out that belief and knowledge are so intertwined that I don't know that you can always pull them apart, because we weren't told what was right or wrong, but our job was to try and work out what's the difference between knowledge and belief. And ultimately, it was a little bit like Deb's flat earther example, that the scientists would say one thing and we would believe them. So we would assume the science would come from a place of knowledge, but we were actually believing that. But then there was lots of discussion about how the scientists, and flat earthers are a great example, are not always right. So did they know it was flat or did they believe it was flat? And then it goes into all sorts of things too, like, you know, is a scientist telling us something because they wanted to be the first to discover a particular thing, even if they don't have all the details and it's not particularly correct? So there was, they were talking about ego in scientists and those sort of things. And it was much broader than that. But I know that's not specifically what we're talking about, but I thought
I would... It kind of is. It kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I thought I'd just say, because it's when the more you think about it, the more it's hard to pull up. It's really, I guess it's a terminology thing, but, you know, the idea of trusting your inner compass to know what's, whether it's belief or knowledge, is probably pretty smart, because it's really the only, yeah, it's really the only true compass, I think. So
we live in times where under enormous pressure to accept that scientists are telling us the truth or that they're right.
Yeah, we absolutely are. So, and it's, I find it interesting that our course is on at this time in the world too. Because certainly for me, I feel like what we're doing in our course is it's putting me in a space where I feel a lot more confident when I work out where my position is on things, whatever that may be, that I'm feeling a lot more confident in not necessarily shouting it to the rooftops, but I kind of am quite centered about how I feel, and if I get asked about it, I can express it in a manner where I don't have as much fear around it. So, yeah. You know, or, and I'm not really worried about what other people think, whereas I certainly 6 months ago, I probably would have been quite traumatized by the thought process that I've put myself through recently and, you know, the conclusions that I've come to. So, yeah.
Just so that everybody else has the background for what you were just talking about, you're a kinesiologist, so you're working as a healer and trying to work around COVID restrictions and lockdowns and the possibilities of being compelled to be vaccinated and all that kind of stuff.
Mm. Yeah, and having lots and lots of science and officials and governments and so forth saying, you know, this is the way we should go, and then looking at little snippets of information from other still very credible sources that are completely contradicting that, and then also thrown into the mix that I have a teenage son who is old enough to make up his own mind about these things, who's terribly conscious of what other people think of him. So trying to navigate that space and give him the freedom to make his own choice, but also make sure that he has enough information to make an educated choice. So it's taken a little while to be able to sit in the space and know that I can accept whichever way all the cards fall with, you know, my son's decisions and whatever happens with the world and the governments. But yeah, so it's just the course is timely for that too, I feel.
Okay, I've got an enormous vibration building up with an idea behind it. Our discernment, does that word translate okay, Enos? Our ability to judge for ourselves what's right and wrong.
Thank you. It's so
important. Did that help? Your English is so good that I can actually forget that it's not your first language.
Thank you.
So here's the thing that I've got goosebumps running up and down my body about. We think that the, you know, this whole thing about the COVID epidemic and the rise of totalitarianism, the rise of governments forcing people to do things against their will, the rise of secrecy, the rise of more and more of our freedoms being taken away. And I'm sitting in lockdown and I'm not one of the people who are likely to be demonstrating in the city, I might add, because I'm comfortable with the fact that we're being asked to restrict our movements dramatically so as to save people's lives while a vast amount of the population gets vaccinated. Those who want to get vaccinated get vaccinated. But here's the thing. There's all this negative stuff going on, and we actually have the opportunity to change it. See, every one of those political kind of things that upset us, if it's upsetting us, there is something for us to know or do about it. Does that make sense? When we drop into, when we can find that place in our brain, that place in our mind, body and spirit, then the external factors, the universe starts shifting things around and external factors start changing. So what's it like in Germany, Ines? Is there a rise in governments trying to make people do things using force?
About the COVID, you mean?
Well, about anything, but particularly starting with COVID.
Yeah, it's the same in all over the world. I mean, they do not tell us we have to be vaccinated, but they start putting more restrictions to people who aren't. Like going to a restaurant or something, they call it the 3G or 2G rules, like the ones that are over COVID, that have been sick and are not sick anymore, is 1G or genesen in German, or the ones that are geimpft, vaccinated. Those are the two that can go to a restaurant, and all the others, maybe with a test, but that would be the 3G, and they are cutting down to only 2G. So it's a little bit more like, you know, I call it the pig tunnel thing. You know, when pigs have to go to the slaughter,
yep.
They come in broad, and at the end, it's only one that gets killed. Yeah, it's not. Sorry for that. It's not nice, but that's what they're doing right now.
It was a good visual.
Well, so that's what they're doing at the moment. But yeah.
So are you finding in Germany that here in Australia we are noticing that it's like the permissions they've got to deal with COVID, they have expanded to deal with all kinds of things that have nothing to do with COVID. So it's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I can understand. Well, right now behind the scenes, there are many people, I think, that are pulling on those threads at the moment, but they hide it. There will be elections next in 2 weeks or so. We have the big elections in Germany, so of course they don't make it too obvious. But once they're ready with elections, I think we will face some surprises.
Okay. So what if those of us sitting here this morning could find the harmony with the universe and feel into our feelings about it and change it? What if we could have an influence beyond Okay. Gosh, I can feel this. Sandra, I'm going to open you up. Now I've got four of us open all at the same time. Sandra, did you have a contribution to make to the idea of dropping into ourselves and working out our own stuff around this?
Yeah, I was actually just trying to think the words for it better, because the whole thing is part of the collective consciousness, which we're all responsible for. So,
yeah.
I actually can't see any wrong in it.
Okay. Explain.
Well, what you resist, this doesn't it? So it's like think of the words, because it's more of a feeling, or a knowing that, yeah.
Okay, so you're at the place, you are automatically at the place where you actually can feel the collective consciousness and that there is no problem.
Yeah.
Right. So because I'm not there, or I'm coming at that differently, probably a better way to express it, my responsibility is to go inside myself.
Yeah, and work
and
out
find
what?
The and find the paradox, the heart of the paradox, to find the rightness behind the wrongness that I'm seeing.
Yeah, see that perfection. Yeah, and to see what's in you that's causing you to feel like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this is
things will change without.
and what's beautiful about this is one of the things we wanted to have a big focus on in this clinic was celebrating our differences, understanding that many different points of view come to make up the whole. Okay, so. Enid and Lynn, are you comfortable in dropping inside ourselves, all of us comfortable to drop inside ourselves and whatever we feel passionate about around what's happening around COVID and the political climate that's being generated by COVID?
Yeah, Jen, I don't know if I'm. I feel like I'm nearly there because. I was trying to think. Well, you and Sandra were speaking. How I got to where I am, but I think what I've done, I don't fully understand it, but I think ultimately, what I wanted was for everyone to be able to be free to choose. Because if everyone's free to choose, I know some people would argue the point, but then I wanted a space where you could choose if you got a needle or you didn't. You could choose if you went to a restaurant or you didn't. And so I've kind of put that out there. I haven't sat down and consciously done it so much. I've just been saying to the universe, I just hope that we all get to this point where as long as we all have choice and somewhere along the line, and I suspect what we're doing in class has actually helped as well, is I now feel that it's going to be okay. So I don't really know what it's going to look like, but I kind of have this trust that is actually going to be okay and that will find the same as everybody else.
That is super, Lynn. Yeah, every time I find a deep passion or anger about something, when I drop in and find it, that's the place that I end up knowing, deeply knowing inside myself that everything is okay.
But I was really stressed for about a week. I was really agitated and upset because I was feeling pressured to have a position and make a decision and advise other people. And I had lots of conflicts because as well as doing what I wanted in my heart, I have a business where I have a responsibility to, I'm not really allowed to advise in there, but people ask. So I have to carefully be aware of how I present my opinions, I suppose. So, but I feel like I'm good now and I just feel like the universe has it in hand. And I also feel like there's been a shift and that's progressively where everything before was feeling like it was on a bit of a downhill slope, I feel like we're actually coming to a really good point and that we're pretty close to starting to be on the good side of all of this. And again, I don't have a lot to base it on, just little snippets here and there, but I think we're on our way to getting through it. So, and to having those freedoms. So,
Really good, really good. So, Ines, I'm probably asking the wrong person here, but how are you feeling inside yourself when you think about the political changes and the not so subtle force that's being applied on people? Are you feeling like it's all okay, or is there still something inside that needs attention? I'm going to ask everybody else to put their hands up here too.
Okay.
Does anybody else, while Ines is thinking about that, can the rest of you have a feeling too? And is there anything about COVID and vaccinations and the force that's being applied on people? Is there anything feeling inside you that wants attention around this? You can just put your hand up, which is *2. Hit *2 on the little telephone keyboard. Yeah. Now I've got them all thinking as well, Ines, and that gives you a chance to think too. See, what Sandra's talking about is a paradox, which is why she and I are coming at this from slightly different directions. Sandra's already found the heart of the paradox, the heart of the energy that is perfect. She's already sitting in the rightness behind the wrongness, the balance of things. She's already sitting in that place. Whereas my job is to, or at least, what I'm seeing is my job at the moment, right in this moment, is to bring people to the rightness behind the wrongness. So any feelings we have, any pressure we're feeling, any force we're feeling, any resistance that we're feeling to the stuff that's happening, to be able to look through that, to be open to notice the rightness behind it. Sorry, Ben.
Sandra. I was just thinking as you're talking there, it's more to see the perfection. It's not the rightness behind the wrongness, because then we're making a judgment. It's just to understand that everything's perfect. So just to see that rather than we have that slightly different saying the rightness behind the wrongness.
Yeah. Okay, this is a super discussion. Thank you. Because I disagree. Well, when I say I disagree, I'm coming at it from a different place. I find the perfection by being willing to see and feel the energy of the wrongness. Oops, let me just shut that other website down on my computer that's making the noise. So, and Carolyn's sent her version, which is slightly different. For me, allowing myself to feel everything about what's wrong, about the feelings that I'm experiencing, about the, when I think of governments forcing people to do things, the upset that I feel, the anger that I feel at the thought of somebody making me have a vaccination. And I might add, I had a vaccination a couple of years ago and did it with beautiful energy eventually, after I had spent a bit of time getting ready for it, but did it with beautiful energy and it's and it literally sang all the way into my body. But my my way of finding the perfection that Sandra's talking about is to allow myself to feel all of the wrongness, all of the feeling, all of the upset, all of the, and knowing that there's a rightness behind it. And as and where the two meets is my perfection. So I really do, in the end, get to the place where it is absolutely and utterly perfect. But I don't start there. And I don't go looking for a wrongness. It's just when it comes up. Now, Carolyn's, I'll come up with hers. Lynn described it perfectly for me, she says. I got there by allowing whatever was happening politically or scientifically or with people's beliefs individually, including mine, allowing everything to be as it is and the flow into it all, the flow into it, it's all okay. Just happened automatically. Hang on, let me just, I've got the emphasis wrong. I got there by allowing whatever was happening politically or scientifically or with people's beliefs individually, including mine, allowing everything to be as it is and the flow into it is all okay, just happened automatically. So the flow into it's all okay, just happened automatically. Whereas mine's more active. If I ignore the, and we're all getting to the same place in the end. This is what's interesting. I have to allow myself to feel all the things that I'm feeling that are crappy, knowing that there's a balance to that on the other side, the yin and yang of it, the rightness behind the wrongness, and that where those two meet is the perfection. Wow. How wonderful to see three such different ways of getting to the same answer, getting to the same thing, which is that, that everything really is perfect.
And Jim, can I add too, because it keeps popping into my head, that I, if you look at the world globally or just our own country or however we do it, if you look at outside of ourselves, everybody else is having like these, I kind of think of it as an existential crisis. So you have these people that normally float through life and basically just coast and don't have to deal with great big decisions or don't go in deep and explore our belly buttons like we are. Yet all these people that normally coast are being put in positions where they really do. I know some don't. I know some are just still just coasting and saying, yep, we have to do this because that's what we've been told. But there's a massive amount of people in my experience who have really had their buttons pushed by what's going on in the world, and they really are like having to formulate their position on things. So it's kind of interesting. It's almost like, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but kind of like there's a whole bunch of people in the world that are, we've been knowing it, having to do what, like they're being put in a position where they're having to do what we are consciously doing in the course. Then I don't know if that does that make sense?
They're having to think more about what they stand for and what they value, what's important to them.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because even as you were talking, I could see our earth and our environment and climate all tangled up in this, all tied up in this in a beautiful flow. The it was just quite incredible. So Carolyn just came up and said, and Sandra's really enjoying this discussion. She's closed herself down. Carolyn has just had an insight. It depends on any given situation. Sometimes I can just allow, and sometimes I face and feel the crap. And it just depends on the situation. And there's probably several other ways or a combination of ways that pop up for me. So even Carolyn, who's really big on allowing, there's times when she can't allow and she has to face and feel the crap. And then there's other occasions where she'll flow into a different way of doing it. And this is, and Sandra says this beautifully here too, this is everyone on their own path as well. So what you're seeing here is me on one path, Sandra on another, Carolyn on another, Ina's on another, Lynn on another, and all of us following our inner guidance system so beautifully to get where we want to go. Yeah, there's a there somewhere. Somewhere in the group there's a who is that? Who is that? Put their hand up. Star two. Or just open up. I'm going to open you up anyway, Deb. Is there a little tremble underneath yours?
No. I'm just sitting here going, all right, well, of those, the ways that we've described, you've all described your way of doing it, is that I resonate more strongly with Carolyn. And for me, the travelling through the COVID-ness of it all, it's really been a valuable teacher in getting me out of my fear state, ironically, out of my fear state and fear of the world, and actually getting me stronger into that connection to the inner that just says, all right, well, yeah, I don't know, it's just hard to describe. But it's a situation that has just made it so clear the difference between when I am listening to what's going on outside and when I'm listening to what's going on inside.
And
that whole thing of discernment coming into my heart space, into that point, and using my heart space and my thymus gland to determine what's mine and what's not necessarily, and then how do I empower myself from that point to then be able to empower at least one person, anybody around me, to be able to come to that point as well. I'm still working on that bit, but you know. I didn't have a sense of that tremble.
Okay. Sandra just pointed out that it could be someone on the recording. I'm coming in on the recording later because we've got this time thing happening. Even as I said that, I felt myself grounded deeper into my chair and a ripple of energy flowing through me into the earth. So let me explain the time concept that Sandra's referring to. Time is, this is my knowing. Time is not linear. 5 minutes ago can be done almost infinitely. There's, I don't know how else to explain. Come on, Sandra, open up and explain. The time is, it's a pity that Portugal's internet's so crappy, because Carolyn's actually sitting right in major time stuff over the last couple of months. Yeah, and it's such an interesting thing to function in a reality where you have to get up to a clock and do stuff, and yet all time is happening now. And Sandra, you balance that. Can you explain a bit more about the time, the concept of time?
Yeah, from my understanding, time's just an illusion. So with that in mind, I'm also very aware if someone's listening to the recording, they will be listening to it as if it was live anyway. They can be in that time, within that time. So that's why it's good to, if you are listening to recording, really just think in and just know, yeah, it's likely it could be happening there now. Don't limit yourself.
Yeah. Carolyn's just popped something in for Ines. Has Ines recognised that she's already doing this with what and how she's learning all the gorgeous things she wants to add to her skeleton? She's determined to make what she learns her own. Yeah. Did that make sense, Ines?
Absolutely.
That just feels so expansive. That's not a missing piece for you. That is whoosh, already kind of a big part of your life. So how about the time stuff, Ines? Did that make sense? The time is illusion. And that someone on the recording is actually listening to it now?
Well, this is funny that this pops up tonight, because I was missing last Sunday's session and I was listening to it today in the morning. It's evening here. So, I mean, 15 hours ago or so. And it just felt to me like all the energy was the same. Like from you guys, like the session, I could feel it. And it was like, wow, even the recording, it's the same. So, and I was thinking about this phenomenon that I never actually paid attention to before. I said, it's now it comes up, like Sandy says. Oh, Sandra. Sandy, Sandra, it's the same, right? You're the same.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. But it's true. And sometimes when time really is so slowing down, you know, you can't rely on it.
Yeah. Sandra just wrote here on my phone, nailed it, Ines.
thank you.
Even when I said the words, whoever's listening to the recording, because I think the only person who's not live this morning is Charlie, when he listens to this recording, I can feel him listening to the recording right now. And I can feel the ripples of energy. Holy snapping turtles. I've got energy rippling down my back into the earth. It's giving me absolute goosebumps. And Carolyn's written, woohoo, Ines.
You're so nice.
Okay, Deb's got a hand up. I'm going to open her as well.
Yeah, just confirming that sense of listen, when you listen to the recording, because I missed one too. But I went back and listened to all of the recordings, is that it is really like you're in it, like everyone's there. So I just wanted to chip in and chime in and say that was my experience too, Ines.
Yeah, isn't it just?
Mm.
Yeah. Truly awesome stuff.
That's... We must be incredibly present to pull that off. I'm going to reflect on that a bit more as a teacher. I'm going to reflect on that a bit more. What is it that makes that happen? Is it our intention? Is it our awareness? Is it the fact that we're incredibly present and aware of our bodies while we're in these sessions? I don't know. I'm just going to open up to understand all of that. Ooh, now, Jan, I've been wanting to open you for a while, sweetheart. Because I know you can't get to every... hang on. Let me just clean up some of the background noises. See if I can clean them up. I think the background noises are not... There we are. How are you, Jan?
All right, thanks. How are you?
Super. I've got so much energy rippling through me, I could light up a light bulb all by myself. So what's been coming up for you in this conversation today?
I'm not sure what it is that's coming up, but usually when I'm sitting listening, I'm sitting still. Today I've been sort of fidgeting and jiggling my feet, and I'm not sure what all of that means yet.
Ooh, now that in itself could be exciting. What are you feeling inside? That was a dumb question. As we all drop into our inner awareness, as everybody on the call drops into their inner awareness, and on the recording, everybody on the recording as well drops into their inner awareness. Oh my God, feel the ripple of that. That just felt so freaking expansive. Wow. Yeah, go on, Jan.
I've got this feeling of my heart chakra sort of expanding and tightening up at the same time.
Wow.
Which is a bit unusual for me.
So here's something that's a big deal. And I can't tell you how often I have made something wrong or been afraid of something that was actually seriously beautiful, a seriously good thing. How to explain? Making myself wrong pulls me out of my meanness. Making things wrong pulls me out of... So this feeling around your heart, how... My old patterns, my old habits were... so often very negative. I made so many things wrong. I can remember one day at our old farm, there was this, when I went out the back door at night, it was so scary out there. And I would do crazy things, like I would be taking rubbish out the back door and I'd be walking down a little walkway to the rubbish bin and down the steps, and I'd put the rubbish in the rubbish bin and then I would run backwards to the back door so I didn't have to turn my back to whatever was so scary out there. And I just couldn't. I was early in this work. This is about 13, 14 years ago. I was aware of this work, but it was like I couldn't figure out what I was so scared of. I did session work on myself. I balanced myself with kinesiology. And anyway, there was this one day I was doing a kinesiology session on myself, and at the end of the session, it came up that by midnight tonight, I had to face whatever was at the back door. And I'm like, wow, okay. So we went out that night, and I got home about 11:30, and I'm like, oh my God, I've got to go face whatever this is at the back door. Oh no. So I walk to the back door, and I open it, and I stand outside, and I'm willing. When I look back on it now, there was this willingness in me because of the balancing work that I'd done to face whatever it was at the back door. And I'm standing there, and I saw an angel.
Okay.
It was always an angel at the back door. It never was anything scary. It was actually the angel of the West. Our house had been set up and balanced with feng shui, and the lady who had done the balancing had put four angels on the corners of the house and four angels on the corners of the property. And the energy that I was reacting to that was so big was just big and beautiful. But because it was foreign to me, I was afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. This has been one of my biggest lessons of holy shit. And he just smiled at me. It was like, oh, well, good. Yeah, good. You can see me now. Yeah. And this property here, I drive out the front door and down the road, and there is always something that catches my eye just on the corner of the property. And it seems crazy because I'm so aware these days, but it took me quite a while to realise that was the angel on the corner of the property there too. Yeah. So this heart, so pull that story about the angel back to this feeling around your heart. What would it be like to assume the rightness of that on autopilot? Instead of not being sure about it, what would it be like?
It would be very good.
Yeah, feel that sunshine. Everybody on this call is going to have, not everybody on this call, how to phrase this the right way. For anybody on this call who has something that they think is wrong or big or scary, what would it be like to see the angel in it? To see your version of my angel at the back door. Wow, my third eye's vibrating so wide, I can feel it in my temples.
I'm just feeling more.
Yeah, go on.
I'm just feeling more tenseness and less expansion.
Okay. So what,
like,
if
whatever it is, whatever it is, it will be a long time before I'm brave enough to have a good look.
Okay. The benignness of the universe, the goodwill of the universe means that you don't have to face anything that you're not ready for. So if something feels too big, we have a choice, and an easy choice. You can, sometimes the bigness of what we face means the balance of the bigness of the energy behind it. Sometimes we can just say, no thanks, not okay to do this one today, and send me another way to do it, please. Well, in fact, you don't even have to say that. The universe sends you another way to do it. And if you don't like that way, it'll send you another way to do it. And if you don't like that way, you'll get another way you can do it. But it's a benign, it's a goodwill of the universe that sends us different ways of doing things. I know I've told you all the story of Sandra ringing me up last April, and this program today is a result of that phone call. Excuse me. And her saying to me that she had, she noticed I was still doing some father stuff, and she had a really cool technique for taking me back, feeling his stuff as if I was him, so I could understand him better. And I won't tell you the swear words that I used, but it was no. I didn't want to do it like that. I couldn't imagine anything worse than feeling my violent alcoholic father's stuff. And the next day, I got, the universe sent me another way of doing exactly the same thing, the same insight that would have come from the father stuff, from me actually doing the technique with Sandra. I got an opportunity the next day to do it in a completely different way. The universe is good to us like that. So what does it feel like to feel that tension, knowing that you can do it a different way, do that scary thing a different way?
I think I'm stuck in a belief that I can't, that it won't be able to be done in a different way.
Okay. So just consciously and thoughtfully and gently set your intention to understand the truth of that or not. All of us who have something that we're not sure we can do, could drop into this intention as well. Is that true or not? Can you find the place of openness or willingness or curiosity or allowing. What way for you is your desire to look for the truth of that? I was working with someone a couple of days ago who at this point had a cat come up and bat her with a paw. You know, the cat smacked her with its paw and said, pay attention to me. And it was a cat that had been an evil... an evil, terrible cat when it was young, and she'd rescued it. And now it had this incredible personality that made her smile and laugh. What makes you smile and laugh, Jan?
Being with my animals.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We don't have to do this big stuff all deep and meaningful. It doesn't have to be like that. Do you remember being on fast track calls when my cat Storm Boy was alive? And he would jump up on the computer every time we needed some lightness of spirit.
I think once or twice,
yeah. Yeah, it didn't happen every time. It's just that if I ever got to, bogged down in trying, I think... He would do something funny and make us all smile. So what if when you're feeling inside yourself, what if you could do that with what if you could do that with ease and lightness and almost laughter?
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
So we're not talking about... We're talking about ease and lightness and almost laughter. About the willingness to feel into it, you know. Okay, everybody's going to do this one uniquely. Oh gosh, all those years ago, I used to get people to think about a foal playing, a baby horse playing, or a kitten playing with a ball of string, or laying out with the horse in the sunshine, or that beautiful movement of the back of a horse as you're riding through the bush. Whatever, think of something that brings a smile to your face. So what brings a smile to your face? What specifically brings a smile to your face? Everybody think about what brings a smile to your face. You know, that heart-tugging kind of uplifting feeling when you watch a kitten playing, or, you know, a foal running in the paddock, or you're playing with your dogs. What's yours, Jan?
So far, everything I've thought of is fleeting, and I've come back to the loss of it.
Okay. So can you feel the willingness to feel all of your feelings around the loss? So not just the emotional stuff, but the energetic. Allow your thoughts and ideas to flow. Allow the energy to flow. Allow the physicality. Can you find curiosity around this feeling of loss? Just that curiosity, why is this so? Don't have to know how the hell you're going to do that. Just see if you can find the curiosity around it. Are you willing to find the curiosity about it, around it?
I don't think I am yet.
Woohoo! High five! Okay, find the smiliness in that, Jan. See, we make stuff wrong. And it's like the angel at the corner of my house. It's not going to be wrong. Can you find that feeling of freedom in saying I'm not actually ready for that?
Yeah.
Notice what that freedom feels like.
Yeah, there was a big knot in my solar plexus, but it's easing up now.
Yep, and your third eye's opened wider. Gosh, this has got to be the biggest theme. This has got to be the biggest thing about our meanness. You know, the stuff that makes us me is noticing whenever we're making ourselves wrong, or noticing whenever we're making something wrong, and looking and going, wow, is this true? Or is this like Jenny's angel at the corner of the house? So far, when I've been looking at something that I thought was wrong, I haven't found anything that was actually truly wrong yet. Which might sound weird, but that tension's gone, hasn't it?
It's still there a little bit.
But it's not tension, is it? It's different. It's a different feeling.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I would describe it.
Yeah, don't worry about the description. Just paying gentle attention to the feeling itself. So even your impatience, even the impatience to change it, pay gentle attention to that. Can you find a smile? Can you find a smile when you're thinking about not being willing?
Just.
Cool. Can everybody find a smile at the thought of having something big going on and not being willing? I just drop it into the recording again. This is really fascinating. I can feel energy rippling down my back from the recording on this. Jan, you're doing this for more than you.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay, you're going to continue this one with Sandy this week.
I'm
seeing this quite strongly. Don't leave this one too long, because your situation is that you need to ring her because of your work commitments. You need to ring her to make your appointment, so don't be backwards in coming forwards.
Okay.
Actually, I just want you to feel into something here. As I say this, I want you to feel this in your body. You are important. You are important. Feel what it's like to feel important.
Got energy running quite strongly through my arms.
I can feel the energy rippling up and down my back. Wow. Well done, Sunshine. Well done. Gosh. And who would have thought, in terms of the uniqueness of our path, you know, each of us having a unique path, who would think that your biggest breakthrough today was going to come from saying, no, I don't want to do that? Go figure.
Yes, it does seem odd.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, almost crazy, but yeah, true. Okay, have fun with that mentoring session this week. I'm flipping up to the top of the board to Judy. How are you, Sunshine?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
That's good. So your goal around the clinic is, what you're looking for from the clinic is more healing work, you know, to do with your healing work. And you do earth meditations as well. So
yes.
what today in the meanest stuff, you know, all the ways in which we are uniquely us, has there been anything in there that's particularly resonated with you?
Yes. Wasn't expecting it, but yes. So I went in relation to COVID, actually, I went and had a vaccination. And so I've been thinking a lot about, like, choice and not choice, as have others, you know, others in the same position. And I was aware that I was thinking, I'd really like to have some symptoms as a result of this vaccination so I can prove to them that it's not good. I'm sort of thinking, this would be... and then I'm now thinking, oh, my God, am I really thinking that? Am I really thinking that? And so I tuned into what you were saying, about... and I actually do believe, feel that you have control over this and put the right intention into it with the vaccination and all will be well. And I thought, oh my God, I can't believe I was thinking that. So yeah.
Wow.
Yep. That's weird. But yeah, because I think, and it was around feeling as though I was lacking choice. I mean, choosing to go regardless, but feeling as though I didn't have a choice. And I thought, well, if that's impacting me, how much is that impacting all the other people who are feeling pressured to have a vaccination? Well, wow.
Yeah, we're so
wow.
blessed to be able to use our awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can vibrate to anything.
Mm.
In fact, all of us, right now, take your attention inside yourself. And ask and feel your willingness or your curiosity or your allowing or your openness to understand the truth or not of that statement. Is it true that we can vibrate to anything? Is it true that we can vibrate beautifully and positively to anything? Can we find the willingness?
I believe it is. Yes.
Feel, what does that feel like in your body? Notice what that feels like in your body. Oh, my goodness. There is an enormous energy building up from everybody who's feeling into the willingness, feeling into the curiosity, feeling into the openness to understand the truth or not of the question, is it true or not that we can vibrate to anything? And the willingness to understand the truth of that for ourselves. So you can literally feel your body vibrating, can't you, Judy? It's like someone's hit you with a tuning fork.
Yep. I feel that peace now, which is good. It's good.
Super. I've got goosebumps running up and down my back. So can you, well, you're all ladies this morning, can you ladies feel how every time you go into looking for the truth of something for yourself, this is the discernment that we started off with our session today. This is the evaluating for ourselves stuff. This is the figuring out, this is exactly the same as figuring out whether the knowledge is actually true or not, or whether it's just a belief and an incorrect one at that, a limiting one at that. So every time we drop in and feel for the truth of something or not, we are opening up the infinite possibilities in front of us. Now, Sandra's come up with something really interesting that I'm going to get her to explain about Judy's vaccination. Okay, Sandra, I've opened you up. Explain what you mean.
Oh, no, I just thought it was really interesting because you felt when Judy was saying about, to prove that, you know, it does make you sick and everything else, you could just feel how that limits, you know, and this is, yeah, well, when we do want to prove someone's wrong or something's wrong, it actually limits us.
Okay, the sound was a bit crappy, but I know what you're saying, so I'm going to repeat it. What Sandra was just bringing to our attention is that that your feeling of wanting to prove that the vaccination was wrong, Judy, was actually limiting. And we want limitless. So the place that you've stepped into now that you've understood this, now you've stepped into the place of limitless.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Gosh, can you feel the energy rippling down your back at that? So every time we step into that meanness, every time we look for the truth behind something, we are becoming more and more me. More consciously me. We're always me, but we're becoming more consciously me. And at the same time, feeling the connection with everything. So I'm becoming more me and more connected to everything. Gosh, that makes me laugh. It makes me feel quite joyful. Well done you. Catherine, I'm opening you up in Queensland. Oh, what in today has resonated most for you, Sunshine?
Well, I would probably say that when we were talking about the COVID thing and I think when Carolyn said allow, I hadn't realised that I've obviously, I actually did that myself. Like you're listening to all the different conspiracy theories and everything else, and you get overwhelmed by it all. And I actually just realised listening to the conversation today that I actually did go in and sat with myself and really thought about, well, what's what is it for me? What do I need? What do I need to do? And I went and got the vaccine and was fine and got both. And yeah, but I hadn't realized till today that I actually went and sat with it and actually thought about it and decided for myself what felt right for me and acted on it. And yeah, which I thought was pretty cool.
High five. So you So how much of a change is, well, actually, I don't need to ask how much of a change is that from before, but you can just sit and appreciate the fact that you just did that on autopilot, because that's what this work is about. It's about finding the autopilot eventually, and if we can start finding the autopilot this easily about something as big as COVID, then we're doing pretty good.
I reckon. Yeah. I was listening to the Wednesday recording, and I got really emotional when you were talking about the your reaction to when you suppress your emotions. Yeah, and I realised that I have spent a life of suppressing everything, all my joy, all my everything. You tell me about the light, you know, lightness of spirit the other day when we were talking last Sunday, and then it came up again and you were talking about it with Jan just before. I don't have fun. I continually just go through. So I think I've lived my life quite numb for quite a lot of years and suppressed literally everything. But now we've, this conversation started, it's amazing how much you start to notice how you react to things and how much you make. I really have been thinking about it and how much I really do make myself wrong and assume that everyone else is right. Yeah. And I really need to.
And lose our meanness. Okay.
Yeah.
There was something in this that I wanted to just kind of switch perspectives on. What if that numbness was itself right back then?
Yeah, it wasn't my coping. It was my only way I could cope at that stage.
Yeah, feel for the rightness of that in your body, sweetheart. We were on that master page that I've put there for you. There's a bunch of different stuff, but the one that we're kind of is useful for today is the top one, and it's called, it's something about meanness. And on it we're talking about the habits and patterns and traumas and even the genetic inheritances that we would normally think of as negative. Every single one of them is going to add to our life. All of this, all of the shitful stuff, all of what we think of as the shitful stuff, adds to our life. So even the numbness, have a feel in your body about what it feels like. Is it true that it adds, that it has added to your life? Oh my God. Did you just have the most monumental expansion?
Yeah. I got tears going down my face. Whoa. I feel like I'm about 10 foot tall.
And I'm going to open Jan back up. Jan. Can you feel how this applies to your stuff too? How has the shit added to your life? Is it true that it has actually added to your life? I can feel goosebumps rippling everywhere. So, Catherine, the numbness literally took care of you, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it's my security blanket.
It's like my disconnection. You know, it's real easy as a spiritual person now to go, hey, you know, that's disconnection. It's not a good deal. Like, come on, Jen. You know, life is about joy and happiness and, you know, come on, let's get on with it. But that disconnection looked after me.
Yeah. Got me to here.
Yeah, look where it's brought me.
Yeah.
Oh, soak that up, Catherine. The energy is running. The energy is running up and down your body in ripples.
I know. Yeah, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it's the contrast too. That's part of the experience. Is for me, part of the experience is the contrast between disconnection and connection.
Mm.
And you, part of the feeling that you're experiencing at the moment is the contrast between numbness and aliveness.
Yeah, I feel every cell in my body.
Robin, I'm drawn to open you up with this one too. How have you been experiencing this conversation that I'm having with Catherine?
Particularly Jan, but also Catherine, that certainly ringing a lot of bells.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm just feeling into the liveness of all the cells. Carolyn's just pinged at me, wow, you gorgeous ladies, feeling good about the crap. That's part of the Einstein factor. Yeah, it's that is taking us to the to the line that divides the left and the right hand brain, and the line that the place where the left and the right hand brain are integrated together, and infinite possibilities open up in front of you for whatever, for healing, for manifesting, for healing for ourselves, healing for other people. For understanding, for letting go, for seeing our life purpose, for whatever it is that we're creating. Excuse me one moment. Let's slight distraction you feel is me adding 15 minutes just to make sure we don't get cut off early. Infinite possibilities. Deb, I'm opening you up to be part of this conversation about infinite possibilities from that come from the meanness. How has this part of the conversation been rattling around in you?
It's been amazing to be woven into it, to listen to it, and understand where I chimed in before about the COVID part of it, to be able to understand the journey and how I've got to a little bit further down the track where I'm at. That may not make a lot of sense.
Well, why I'm laughing is that I can feel you feeling it, and the words not kind of quite catching up.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you're feeling it, because trying to get the words to catch up is not working. Yeah, so it's kind of tying back to the theme that you started at the beginning, which was about the knowledge and forever seeking external knowledge, which has been my game and my gig forever. And over the last, 12 months, and more specifically over these 6 weeks of confinement, really catching up with that and having time, quiet time, to spend doing more of that me work and finding where I sit within that rather than just being constantly distracted with busyness and feeling like I have to be in 6 or 7 places at once.
That's been an interesting side effect of being locked down with COVID, is and so many people have said that. That it's given them the time to actually be reflective instead of living life at 100 miles an hour.
But even the irony is that even with COVID, for the way that I'm set up in my little patch here, is that even with COVID, I could still find, like, I still kept myself amazingly busy and distracted. It was only when the physical thing, the surgery happened, that it physically said, right.
But that's the external factors of the universe at work.
Yeah, that's right.
Deb, we're going to make you need some surgery so that, you know, if you don't slow down, we're going to make you slow down.
Yeah, one way. If you're not listening to it, this is what we're going to do. And the
it's that benign thing of the universe, that goodwill of the universe that says, okay, if you haven't got it this way, we'll give you another way to get it.
Yeah.
So then you had to have a surgery that made you lay around and not be allowed to work, and to allow other people to support you for a change, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You go on.
It was just Thursday was the reminder of how easily I started to fall back into that pattern. And then just had to stop.
Just explain to people what you mean, because I know that you physically overdid it so badly on Thursday when you delivered that rooster to my house, and I came out to the car to pick it up, you were shaking inside with exhaustion.
Yeah.
And overwhelm.
And I got halfway to your place with the rooster, and then when the realization hit me, and I've gone, oh my, now I've got a decision. Do I turn around and go back, which had a whole heap of consequences to it, or do I just push through and just do it. And that's what I had to do. But I had got myself to that point of being so so physically done.
So did you actually find your rightness behind that?
Yes. So I was able to do it as I got to the end of Telegraph Road and was able to get home and put myself into a space to be able to recuperate.
Excellent.
And, become a little more aware.
Excellent. So I can't help but draw it back to the core topic for today. That overwhelm that you allowed yourself to get into actually pulled you out of your meanness, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the overdoing thing actually pulled you out of your meanness.
And what did it more so was the fact that it was external, there was an external element to the you've overdone it, which was a double whammy of pulling me out of my meanness. So there was two elements to it.
Explain a bit more.
There was the fact that I had overdone it, and that was my pattern that I had overdone it. But there was also the external bar, 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 bar that was happening in my mind that was saying you've overdone it, and now what you've done, you've overdone it. So there was a double whammy to it.
Okay, I actually don't get what you mean from your words, but hang on for a second while I just feel into what you mean. I'm going to allow myself to feel into what you mean rather than listen to the words. Cool. Okay, I get that now. There's a real sense of excitement in under this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost a sense of wonder.
Yeah.
Ooh, soak that up, sunshine. So, Robin, what's your biggest takeaway from today, sweetheart?
I'm going to have to sit down and think about it. There's just been so much flying at me. My brain's just gone bleh.
and we're coming up to the two-hour mark, and I swear I really don't like going beyond 2 hours. It's not a – we go into the too hard then. It's too hard for me. It's the sitting. It's the sitting for so long that makes it difficult.
I need to sit, to contemplate, and then probably come back and chat to Caroline, I think.
Yes, yeah. Be happy to work with your mentors during the week. Deb, around your that feeling voice and the fact that it wasn't really communicating your feelings, Carolyn wrote, it's the difference between your inside voice and the rational voice.
Okay.
Yeah. That was interesting. Okay. Wow. I'm just going to soak up a bit more meanness this morning. Hang on, I'm going to open everybody up. Wow, just soaking up a sense of appreciation for everybody's contribution today. And also for the deep feeling of timelessness, really being able to feel, this is the first time I've actually deeply felt the recording. As in now, feeling. Yeah, I wonder if some of you are going to want to listen to this one again. Okay, have fun with your mentors this week. And wow, thank you all for your contribution for today. It's been, what an amazing day. It's been a smooth day. Can you feel how smooth this is today? Yeah. And after all, that's what we're after. We're after an ease around our inner guidance system and our ease in our progress towards our goals instead of the struggle factor. Okay. Love you all to bits. And looking forward to next Wednesday night. anybody got any questions before I go? Nope, all cool. Okay. Have a wonderful day, everybody, and have a wonderful night, Carolyn. Ina's has dropped out already. I could feel her getting tired and tired as she dropped out a few minutes ago. So sweet dreams, Carolyn, and have a wonderful day, everybody else. Thank Love you. You. Bye.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.